Welcome to Take It Off, the podcast where we ditch the heavy layers and get real about who we truly are beneath it all. I'm Julie, and together with my co-host and friend, Jess, we'll share our own stories and explore the triumphs and tribulations of being a woman in today's world. Let's get real, have some laughs, and inspire each other to embrace our true selves. Welcome to Take It Off.
Hi, guys. Welcome back. We are joining you for another episode of Take It Off, and today we're talking about finding your village. And this one, I'm actually really excited to dive into it, Julie, because, you know, as you guys have probably started to figure out, we are coming to many of these conversations with just like perspectives that are rooted in experiences lived in different worlds, where Julie has spent most of her life in more of a corporate setting, and I have spent the past 10 plus years in an entrepreneurial role. And so it's always fun to me, you know, to kind of sit down and compare notes on how our perspectives differ. And I think that this is going to be another discussion topic where, you know, we might leave the conversation seeing things a little bit differently. So, are you ready, Julie?
I am so ready.
All right. Well, let's kick it off right away. I guess I want to start by asking you, when you hear the word village, what does it mean to you? What do you think of? Mm-hmm.
So probably for me, over the past 10 years or so, when I hear the words, it takes a village, I have automatically thought about it takes a village to raise kids, right? Mm-hmm. When you have little kids, it's a lot for one person, a couple, even like throw in the grandparents, it takes a village to raise them, right? To get them to all of their things, to make sure that you can get to your things. And as my kids have gotten a little older, what I've realized is I need a village too. Mm-hmm. And so when you ask me that question now, I think my answer would be a village is either an informal group of friends that either you've stayed in touch with, you know, from childhood, which, you know, I still have a couple of those, or it's newer friends like you and I. So your village could even be parents of your children's friends. Mm-hmm. I remember someone telling me, who was probably 10 years older than me, that she didn't need to be friends with the parents of her kids' friends. And then as she started to get to know them, and you come together because you have this common bond, right? It can form really beautiful friendships. And I'm thankful for all of the friends that I've grown and gotten to know through my children. So it can happen sort of informally, I think, like that. But then they also happen, these villages happen intentionally. And so I'm sure we'll talk more about that, whether it's joining an already established group or creating your own group in a space that you need a village for. But for me, it's both informal and formal.
Yeah. I think that makes sense. And I love how you bring up just having a village, you know, where your village originally meant supporting you as you raised kids. I think just like we've talked about in the past, so much of what we need, we let go of when we have young kids. And, you know, we find the support that we need for those immediate things. But I don't know if it has to do with this, you know, turning point in age, this like, you know, 40 something shift that we all go through, yeah. Or it's just that our kids are older. But I do think that now is a time where we do start to really look like inward and say, what is it that I need to support myself? And as you're talking about, you know, the informal relationships, I think about how, you know, one of my kids in daycare, I remember bringing my daughter, my second child, to daycare. And no, actually, I'm sorry. I remember thinking about daycare, I was bringing my first child to daycare, yeah, on the very first day. And full disclosure, I was not a parent that cried at the first day of drop off, but I do know that I looked like a deer in headlights. And one of the fathers stopped me and was just like, it's going to get better.
Aww.
And, you know, part of me, I was thinking, oh, I'm happy to be here, you know, yeah. But it was, it was just this moment of support.
Yeah.
And ever since that day, almost 11 years ago, the friendship with that family has evolved. And I would say that the mother of that family has become part of my village definitively.
Yeah.
And so I think that the village, it doesn't have to be a new village. It's just that our needs are changing now.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like who, whether it's like that informal way, like who makes it through this chapter of life where we're really starting to figure out what we need.
Yeah.
And being selective about who stays and who goes.
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah. I really like, you know, that story you just told, because, you know, initially you're with all these parents of your children's friends. We need like a name for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you're with these folks, you know, at birthday parties, mm-hmm. right? When the kids are little and you
have to be friends with them because
you have to.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I'll just be real here. Like, I was never happier when I could take my kids and drop them off at a party.
Yes.
And not have to stay and make small talk with the friends.
Oh, you're but speaking my language.
I will say there are a few women and men, but, you know, mostly women who I got to know through the small talk at the party that are some of my closest friends now.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, a few weeks ago, I had some of them over and you were here.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my kids saying to me, wait, so you're having my friend's parents over, but like, I don't have anything to do with this. And I was like, yeah, exactly right. You got it. And so it was just, it's just fun, like you said, to see this evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe, you know, the reason you became friends is one thing. But as we all grow, you know, we need different things from those friendships, and they can blossom into something really beautiful.
Yeah. So, okay. So you're building a village.
Yeah.
And this village is a village for you, mm-hmm. Julie, now, not necessarily the Julie who's raising young children, but the Julie who's in this new chapter of life where she's left the corporate world. She's going out on her own.
Mm-hmm.
But she's working with people who are in, you know, leadership positions, right? So you still have all of these perspectives in mind as you grow your village.
Yeah.
Like, where do you start? And maybe more importantly, like, why do you do it? When you're looking for your village, what is the support that you're looking for to fill those spaces?
Yeah. You can probably talk about this better than me, but I have found that entrepreneurship, similar to some leadership positions that I've held, can be really lonely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a year or so ago, I was working with a coach, and she asked me to tell her who my female peers were at work. And after a long pause, I thought of one person.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me, you know, that's not outside of normal. Mm-hmm. When I ask that question to a lot of my clients, it's either nobody or one person.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I've always had to be, at least in my professional setting, intentional about finding my village, right? When I was in my corporate role, I was in a sales role, partially. I was wearing a lot of hats because I was, you know, leading this agency, and one of those hats that I wore was a sales hat. And I realized that I needed a local network. And so I looked around and I knew I wanted to network with women because I felt like women were underserved in the market that I was in. And there weren't really any good markets or any good villages, rather. And so I asked a friend to start one with me, and you were a part of that. And it grew into this really incredible thing. So in that role, it was, I needed a network, connections for growth in my business.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. It turned into more than just growth. It turned into business strategy and leadership conversations and, you know, really just, you know, how do you show up as a professional woman today, rather. Now in my entrepreneurial journey, I find that I need a tribe, I need a village to help me navigate this space. And so, like, you're one of those people who I call on because you've got more experience in it than I do. And so I lean on you for some of that. I was fortunate that early in my entrepreneurial journey, I had a woman reach out to me who is in a similar line of work and ask me if I would partner with her. And I'm so glad that I said yes to that. Because now I've got these other two amazing women that I'm working with. And while I'm still an entrepreneur and building my own thing, I've created this little village doing, you know, coaching and mastermind groups that is giving me ideas for my business in other areas too. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And I think like village can mean so many things to so many people. And I think at least for like the purposes of this conversation, as we talk about a village, let me know if we're like, I guess, thinking the same way here, but I guess I see a village as my, as people surrounding me who uplift me and support me. They are in my life intentionally, whether it's by chance, and then they've stayed intentionally, or, yeah. you know, I've joined a group in order to meet people. Mm-hmm. But a village is more of like a select group of people that you surround yourself with, not in like a, there's not like a container around it. It's mm-hmm. not like you join a group and you say, this is my village. It's almost like hand selected people that just like, you just know that they're one of your people.
Yeah.
Right. Would you describe it that way? Like, how do you know
yeah.
who to pick? And
yeah. yeah. Well, so from a professional sense, and again, you know, as we start to talk more about work-life integration versus work-life balance, mm-hmm. you know, I think those lines between professionalism and your personal life get a little more blurred, mm-hmm. and I'm here for that, mm-hmm. right? But in the professional world, you know, the trendy thing to say for a while, and I'll ask you if you've heard of this, people would say, you need your own board of directors. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So, mm-hmm. it, you know, it's probably more of a corporate thing. Mm-hmm. And so when I was in the corporate world, I was like, that's kind of silly. Like, I don't need a board of directors. Mm-hmm. Like, I have my boss and I have, you know, the people on my team and I have my one female peer. So I'm good, right? Mm-hmm. But I was recently talking to a woman, you know, a few years ahead of me, and she brought this idea of this board of directors up to me, and I was like, here we go again. But as she was explaining it to me, and what it is for those of us who maybe haven't heard of it before.
Right, tell me, because I have no
clue. Let me tell you. Mm-hmm. A board of directors is, like what you were saying, being really intentional about finding this board, this group of people that are going to serve you in different aspects of your life. So, like, for me in my consulting business, I might need to find someone who's really strong at selling in the professional services world, who I could go to if I get stuck with a sales situation. Because I'm still kind of working in the insurance space, I probably need someone who's, like, hands-on in the insurance world that I can check in with every once in a while so I don't lose touch with that. It could be that I need someone who's really strong in marketing to lean on them. It could be that I need someone, which I can probably check this box, I need someone who's doing similar work as me so that I can bounce ideas off of, right? Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, finding this group of like, I don't know, 6 to 8 people that fill like specific needs in your business. And as I was having this conversation, like I said a few weeks ago with this woman, it resonated with me. And so for me, it was like a timing thing, right? Like before I was like, nah, I don't need that. I've got all these people. But now that I'm, you know, out on my own, I'm thinking, oh, I probably do need those people mm-hmm. because I don't have a marketing department anymore. I don't have an accounting department anymore. It's just me, right? Mm-hmm. So that's just one example of how you can be really intentional about forming your quote unquote board of directors. And in essence, create this village for yourself.
So I guess if you're taking a more formal approach, is it like a reciprocal relationship? Are you offering them something in return? Or like, how do you go from this like meeting of minds to this like unspoken, or is it a spoken relationship of being each other's village?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think you really, you know, once you find people that you would consider to be in your village, you have to be intentional about nurturing those relationships. So whether, you know, you say to your marketing person, like, you're my marketing person, I'm coming to you for marketing advice, or if you just go to him and him or her and say, you know, I'm working on this marketing campaign and I know you have a lot of experience in this area. Would you mind if I just like ran this by you? And I always like to leave those conversations with two questions. One question is, you know, based on what I shared with you and, you know, what I'm building, is there someone in your network that you think I should talk to? Because that helps you continue to build your village, right? And then the second question is, what can I do to help you? How can I help you in your business or in your personal life? So I think you have to, it's definitely a reciprocal relationship, mm-hmm. and you have to be intentional, and asking those two questions at the end, you know, helps me with my intentionality.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that perspective. It's just, I guess, yeah, I don't think that I've fully, I don't know. I haven't like formalized my thinking around my village. I feel like I just have people and I'm like, they're my people. And it's But yeah, I think like from the entrepreneurial perspective, it's, well, we're both coming from that perspective, but at living in that space and specifically like helping entrepreneurs, I coach people to find their village by, I guess, kind of looking inward and figuring out like where the gaps are. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's rooted oftentimes in your goals of like growth, balance, mm-hmm. avoiding overwhelm, avoiding stress, you know, that dreaded like business burnout. And so, you know, what are the support systems that you need in place to lift you up so that you can live that like life of balance, right?
Yeah.
And so, like you said earlier, being an entrepreneur it's incredibly lonely. Mm-hmm. And I'm coming to the table with the perspective of living in the space of operating a family business for the past several years.
Yeah.
And one thing that I found for me specifically is that family really, like my village should extend beyond my family. And
yeah.
I think, you know, when you're growing a business, it's all consuming. It's taking up, you know, every extra thought that you have generally. Mm-hmm. And I find that it's almost more important to create boundaries
yes.
around your work
mm-hmm.
so that you're not, it's not becoming everything, right? Even if I'm like sitting with my husband at the dinner table, I don't want to just talk about work.
Yes.
I want to talk about like things that we enjoy doing together or the kids, like what do we have to catch up on?
Yeah.
And I think that there are times where our lives get too busy that if I need his perspective or another family member's perspective, the weight is almost too heavy for them to be like, I know everything else is chaotic, but I really need your thoughts on this.
Yeah.
So it's really important to have somebody to turn to for an outside perspective.
Yeah.
And somebody that can challenge your thoughts in new ways, mm-hmm. right? So somebody that can just bring fresh perspectives. I think also, and you know, you mentioned this as well, but finding the people who can support you in like with skill sharing.
Yeah.
So when you're an entrepreneur, when you're owning your own business, you are now the accountant and the human resources person mm-hmm. and the hiring manager and the salesperson and, you
yes.
know, the social media manager. And it's really hard to wear all of those hats.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I just think that working with people that you can almost like barter with, whether it's formal or not,
mm-hmm.
where you can share ideas in, you know, your wheelhouses that
yeah.
will just help each other grow. So,
yeah.
you know, maybe I might partner with somebody who is a really great photographer and she'll help me create my content and I can help her with like marketing strategy
yeah.
or something like that.
Yeah.
So,
well, and I think, you know, it's definitely good to have people who compliment you, but I also think it's important when you're forming a village to look for opinions or ideas that are different than your own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really thinking about diversity in a sense. There have actually been studies done, research studies, that show that by adding one person who is different from the rest of the group, just one person keeps the group from having what they call groupthink, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where one person says something and then everybody else is like, oh yeah, that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
By just introducing one diverse person, whether it's the diversity can come in any shape or form, right? But just diverse thoughts eliminates or diminishes, I should say, that groupthink, which leads to more creative problem solving, which ultimately leads to better outcomes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if I'm putting my corporate hat back on for a little bit, groups, villages, connection breeds better results, whether it's for you individually as an entrepreneur or for a corporation.
So even if you're not sitting around, I'm visualizing like the group think happening as you're sitting around like a conference room table and yes. one person speaks up because you're like, this is my resident, like different perspective person, and I'm just yeah. relying on them to speak up. When you have your village, it's not necessarily a group that sits around the same table, but yeah. you might have somebody that you go to who you know mm-hmm. is going to challenge your perspective,
yeah,
right? Like
absolutely.
You sometimes feel like maybe you're getting stuck, or you know, a decision has come too easily for you, or your yeah. decision isn't jiving with somebody else's, and so you need somebody who can really give you
yeah.
like a way to think of it outside the box. And so yeah. you kind of have a person for that.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think I'm so glad that we're having this conversation because, you know, I don't know if men sit around and talk about, you know, the importance of having a village. The men I know, I don't think have that conversation. Yeah. And I'm a little bit envious of mm-hmm. them because I think because of the way business has been, and really just life, you know, has been structured for so long. You know, I'm envious that not all men, but most men have more time mm-hmm. for this, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, statistics show again that even in, you know, heterogeneous working households, man, woman, both working, the woman still takes on more of the child raising and household chores than the man. Mm-hmm. That's just like studies have shown that, right? And so because of that, men tend to have more time. Mm-hmm. And so they can go to the golf course. Mm-hmm. They can grab a drink with a coworker who's probably also a man after work. Mm-hmm. But for us, for women, you know, because we've got these additional responsibilities, not saying that men don't have responsibilities outside of work, but because we tend to have more, we have less time for that. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's really important that as women, we're intentional about prioritizing making space for other women in our lives, right?
Like the time that we do have, we yes. shouldn't just hope that we end up at the bar having a glass of wine right. with the right person. We yes. need to be just really intentional about like what our needs are and yeah. how we're filling our time and space with what will fill those needs.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And so that, what does that look like, right? Mm-hmm. It could look like carving out time during the day, mm-hmm. what a novel idea, mm-hmm. for coffee with mm-hmm. someone who might be a fit for your board of directors, like we were talking about earlier, mm-hmm. right? It could be going for a walk with someone. Mm-hmm. It could be just setting up a Zoom call with somebody, right? It doesn't have to be a whole Saturday on the golf course. And so here's my disclaimer on golf, right? I used to get really frustrated and upset that all the men, most of the men, were on the golf course in the summertime. I, you know, worked in insurance. So for all of you who are in insurance, you know what I'm talking about, right? Like May to October, people are on the golf course, right? So I didn't play golf. And so at first I just got like angry about that. And then someone said to me, well, I just joined them. And so I thought, well, learning is one of my core values. Maybe I can learn how to play golf. Mm-hmm. So like a typical woman, I went and took all the lessons and then finally got the courage to go out on the golf course. And I don't like it. You know, it's just, it's not for me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's golf courses are beautiful and I love being out in nature, but you know, I can sit and have lunch and look at the golf course, mm-hmm. or I can go for a walk like around the perimeter of the golf course and not take up a whole Saturday.
And probably have much better conversation.
Yes.
Than, yeah. The distracted yeah. conversation of finding the ball or, I don't know, who's driving the cart. Do they, I don't know if they even ask these questions. But.
So anyway, sorry, I had to go off on my golf course tangent. But
well, it is, it's like, and again, not to go on a tangent about men, but it is just this like rite of passage, good old boys like mentality that has been such a big part of this, like, you know, male, female in the workplace dichotomy, yeah, where we are fighting for the space and time to create our own, you know, like girls clubs or yeah, whatever it is. Yeah. We don't have the good
old girls club.
Yeah. we are working 2 full-time jobs at least if we're working full-time and raising kids. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we just don't have the luxury of like, you know, being part of these like clubs where we, you know, just have access to resources and people and we have to find it ourselves. And so this is how we do it. So we've built these amazing groups of supportive women around us. How can we be sure that we are like continuously showing up for them, mm-hmm, in their lives? And how can we make sure that we're nurturing these relationships so that they, you know, grow with time and, you know, that we're really like supporting each other how we both need supported?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because they don't just happen, right? Yeah. And once they're formed, like, you certainly have to nurture the relationship. I have a couple, some are going to sound like really simple, but like the first one that comes to mind is I've been trying to be really better, intentional, you might say, about when I think of somebody, whether it's an article that I read or something I saw on the news, or I don't know, I was just thinking about them, that I text them and just say, hey, I was thinking about you. I mean, I don't know anybody who would be upset from getting a text from a friend or a colleague who said, hey, I was just thinking about you. Like, that mm-hmm. just brings a smile to my face, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's just, like, one simple way to do it. This might be unpopular, but I like to ask my village for help. Mm-hmm. You know, as I made this transition from corporate to entrepreneurship, one of the decisions that my family made was like, because my job is more flexible, I am like number one on making sure the kids get to where they need to be. And sometimes I can't do it, and my husband can't do it, and their grandparents can't do it. And so I've had to reach out to my village to say, can you get my daughter to dance? Can you get my son to tennis? And people want to help. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had one story where I asked my neighbor and she couldn't do it, but she got her dad, who was visiting from out of town, to take my son to tennis. Oh. And they had this lovely, like, drive to tennis. So people want to help. And I hope that by being a little vulnerable and asking for help, that then when they need help, they're more inclined to come to me and that I can say yes for them. So, I mean, that's another way.
I love that because I think that there's so many times where, especially as women, we think that we need to do all of the things. We think that we just, sometimes it's easier to just do it ourselves, and it can be really stressful when we come up against those like barriers where we're like, I really just can't do this. Yeah. And I love being asked for help like that because I love helping people, but also it's almost like a silent permission slip that it's like, I can come to you and help and ask for help when I really need it. You're like a safe space for that. Yeah. So
do you have anything to add to that?
Yes. So I think that this is sort of goes against a lot of like how I live my life, but, I think knowing myself and knowing my strengths has been one of the biggest eye-openers in this space. Mm-hmm. I love to help people. Mm-hmm. I love to be thoughtful. I love to stay in touch with people.
Yeah.
I'm also, you know, an entrepreneur who's running a business. I've worked 2 full-time jobs very recently, and I have 3 kids. Mm-hmm. And I have ADHD.
And a new puppy.
And I have a hard time keeping track of things sometimes. Yeah. And so I actually, I take a more formal approach sometimes to keeping in touch with people. When I have somebody in my life and I know that there's somebody that I really want to keep in touch with, I set reminders. I make lists of the people that I know I need to just reach out to. And it might just be that I send them a message like you do that says, hey, I saw this and I'm thinking about you, or I read this article and, you know, it made me think of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
But if I have that like list of people who are in my village, like at the top of my mind, yeah, it's just easier for me to recall when I want to reach out to them.
Yeah.
And they're important to me. You know, you're part, mm-hmm, of my village. You're worth, mm-hmm, it to, you, mm-hmm, know, to take that extra step just to make sure that you know that I'm thinking about you. Or,
yeah,
you know, I've gotten away from this, but I love sending handwritten notes and, mm-hmm, just popping something in the envelope. And so, yeah, so for me, it does take something with a little bit more structure.
Yeah.
But I think that given, you know, the fact that we do need to be so thoughtful about how we're spending our time right now.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's an extra layer of work, but it's important for me.
Absolutely. It has to be a priority.
Yeah. Yeah. So, as part of recording this episode, we really wanted to, I think, help each other figure out how to make sure that we're building our villages around us in the most supportive way,
mm-hmm,
so that we can thrive in our businesses, maintain balance at home.
Yeah.
And just, you know, live. The journey is, you know, the journey is the process is what this is all about, right?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm, this is what we're working for. And so how do we enrich our day-to-day lives as best we can? And this,
yeah,
is how. So if I were to give some takeaways to anyone who's listening about what they can do to start to build their village, I think some of the first things that I would do would be to take that journey of self-discovery that we talk about often,
mm-hmm,
almost like inventory, like look inside an inventory. You know, what are the areas in my life that are causing me like stress or angst? Or, you know, where do I feel lost or unsupported? Or, you know, what are the conversations that I really wish I had somebody to like talk to about? Like, what,
yeah,
are, you know, where are those gaps? So, mm-hmm, first you have to really know yourself to identify the gaps.
Yeah.
And then I would start with the networks that you have around you now. And, you know, maybe it is somebody that you hadn't really thought of as like a village person, right? For lack of a better word. You know, it's a kid's friend that you just have always felt like you've had a great connection with.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe that person really is, they're always challenging your perspective and giving you new ways to look about, you know, to look at things. And, you know, maybe it's really just having a mindset shift. And then when you see that person, just having conversations differently so that, mm-hmm, you know, you can start to fill gaps and voids for each other.
Yeah.
And then I think it's looking from there, looking outside of your network. And, you know, maybe it's asking for an introduction to somebody else that you know of who can support you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's asking for a referral, you know, from somebody that you trust. Yeah. So then I think that you're really, you're looking at your network and figuring out, you know, who you know or who you can be introduced to through your network, through referrals or introductions.
Yeah.
And building your village that way. And then beyond that, I think joining networking groups, joining groups with similar, it doesn't even have to be a professional group, even if that's where the need is. Maybe, mm-hmm, you just start to spend your time volunteering somewhere and you're just really intentionally talking to people.
Yeah.
Because if you're doing something that you're passionate about,
mm-hmm,
chances are somebody that you meet there is going to share similar values and similar perspectives. And I think you never know where you're going to meet the next person who could be, you know, one of your people, one,
yeah,
of the people in your village.
Yeah.
What is there anything else that you would add?
Well, I think that's really beautiful what you said. You just never know when you're going to meet that next, mm-hmm, person, right? And I think part of how you get better at that is, and I think we might do an episode on this, but being curious and asking really good questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is the first thing you typically get asked when you're introduced to somebody? What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if we asked, you know, what do you do for fun?
Mm-hmm.
What are you really good at? Why are you here today? What made you come today?
Mm-hmm.
I think if we get curious and ask some more questions other than what do you do, it can really help us get to know people. And that's when you know, yeah, this is somebody that I want to have in my village.
It's funny. As you're thinking about that, I'm recalling our last episode. Was it our last episode where we talked about intuition and whispers from the universe. And I'm thinking, like, where's the weirdest place? Or what's, like, the weirdest way I've, like, met one of the people in my village? And I'm thinking about how I went to... When I opened my business, I met this woman who used to bring her daughter, and we would chat at the front desk. And there came a point maybe a year or two later where I took a yoga class, and the same woman was in the yoga class. And I was like, oh, what is her name? She was so great. I love talking to her. And then my husband was like, hey, I just found out that there's a guy who works at the same place as me that lives, like, in town. Let's get together with him and his wife, and we'll, like, throw hatchets. And I was like, okay. And so it turns out that that was this same woman.
Oh, geez.
And so it was, like, listening to the universe. I just, like, listened. And, well, it was, it got very obvious by that point, by the third time, that the universe was, like, this woman is supposed to be in your village.
Yeah.
And now today she's one of my very best friends and one of the most supportive people in my village. And so I think it's, like, it's also an intuitive process where you do, you have to listen to, like, what lights up inside of you when you meet somebody and also just, how it feels when you make one of those, like, connections.
Yeah. Well, and I love that you shared sort of that organic way of how it happened for you. You know, I can't believe we didn't even mention this yet, but I mean, you and I met through a group of women, right? We were at a junior league meeting in a bowling alley. And sure, maybe we would have crossed paths eventually, but that's where we met, right?
Yeah.
And it was all about us being curious about each other and finding things we had in common that started a friendship. You know, 10 years later, here we sit talking about building villages, right?
Yeah, that is wild to think, you know, all of the roads we've traversed since then. But yeah, you just never know when you're gonna find that person. And so staying open is important, and being curious, because we would have never known, you know, this friendship would have never become what it is if we hadn't taken the time to just ask each other those questions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a beautiful story to end with. What do you think?
I think so too. What are you taking off this week?
Well, Jess, it's unseasonably warm here today, and so I'm taking off my damn sweater.
Me too. Man, it is hot out there. Let's go outside and enjoy some sunshine.
Yes, while it lasts.
See you later, guys.
Bye.